Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Danny Tarkanian. He's a candidate now for Congressional District 3. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Warren Hardy, Annie McKay, and John Sandy IV. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Danny Tarkanian. He is now running for CD3. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Let me ask you this. How tough was it for you to accept the president's invitation to step down from running for the U.S. Senate and to run for CD3 instead?
Yeah, it was extremely tough. I'm not sure how you compare that to, you know, a serious thing like my father passing and things like that. But certainly on something that I had control over, it was one of the toughest decisions. I've never backed down from a challenge in my life. I've never let down people that had trusted me. At least I've never done so intentionally. And I did so, both of those in this instance. But I've also never had the President of the United States call me and ask me to do something and tweet out something also.
Now, at this point, are you endorsing Dean Heller?
Absolutely. I'm supporting Dean Heller over Jackie Rosen. Absolutely. I'm sure he won't have a problem in the primary, but haven't been asked for an endorsement, nor would I, you know, say anything until after the primary is over. But certainly over Jackie Rosen.
And you know, after going through such a tough primary season, and you've been campaigning so long and so hard against Dean Heller, how hard is it to reverse yourself on that?
It is very difficult. It's we had, I believe, was a message that not only was very accurate and true, but one I felt 100% good and honest about running against Senator Heller. It's a little bit different. The CD3 race, the other opponents in the race, there's 10 of them. I don't think are going to be nearly as difficult as, certainly not running against Senator Heller, or as difficult as it was running against the majority leader, Michael Roberson, in the last election. So it'll be more that we're going to be trying to build up our campaign, our base, and support throughout the CD3 and hopefully get into the general election with a full sprint, as opposed to the last election where it came in broke and battered from all of Roberson's negative ads.
Danny, you've got a really good track record in GOP primaries. If you would have stayed in that U.S. Senate race, do you think you could have defeated Senator Heller?
I felt I would have if the president hadn't gotten involved. But the reason, and I mentioned this to you on the show when I was on, I got in this race because Trump supporters in Nevada asked me to run in this race because they wanted somebody representing the state of Nevada and Washington, D.C. that supported President Trump. And Dean Heller hadn't, and I did during the most difficult times for candidate Trump. That whole argument goes away when the president tells you he doesn't want you to run in the race.
Right.
He'd rather have you run in another one. He took away the whole reason for me being in the race, and that's why I got out of it. I'm going to tell you, there's people I met just 2-3 days before I got out of the race in Fernley, in Douglas County, some in Reno, that were thanking me for being in this race and giving them a chance to vote against Senator Heller, and I feel I let them down. But on the other hand, I don't believe I had any chance of winning with President Trump against me, and also going against all the other obstacles you have when you run against an incumbent.
But, Danny, you had maybe analytics or polling that showed you would have defeated Heller in the primary?
Well, we hadn't done any polling since the earlier in the race. There hadn't been any public polling released. Now, Dean Heller's staff says they had polling that showed them up and that they felt good about their position. But, for one, they didn't release, and I don't know if it's true or not. But if it was, they spent, between Dean Heller and his super PACs, including DaVita, from December through March, when I got out of the race, they spent millions of dollars against me and for Heller. If he hadn't led by that time, he was never going to lead. But we felt we had the bare amount of money we needed to get our message out, but our message we felt would have resonated with the voters because it's what they really care and wanted from, my experience running in GOP primaries in Nevada. But that's over. My wife is the best at it. I was very, very down when this happened, and she keeps saying just look forward and stay focused on moving forward and getting across the finish line. Well, what we haven't talked about is, I've had a good track record in primaries. Mm-hmm. I lost the general election to Jackie Rosen by 1% in the last race, which
right.
was the closest anybody had in a contested primary general election last year for the Republicans. Also, it was the most expensive race. Furthermore, she spent millions of dollars lying about me, and I had a lawsuit against her, which I'm going to win, and shows that she defamed me. I can make up that 1% if we run a good race, and we feel very confident that we will. And that, to me, that's the most important thing right now, is to get over the hump and get a win.
Okay. As you know, CD3 has a lot of veterans, and I just wanted to ask you what you thought about President Trump firing the Veterans Administration secretary, then tapping his own White House doctor to replace him, and now he also has made overtures about privatizing the Veterans Administration. What are your opinions on these?
Well, with respect to his personnel decisions, I don't know enough about what was happening with the operation of the VA that President Trump had firsthand knowledge of. So, I'm not going to second-guess him there. But, everybody who lives in this country owes the most dearest debt of gratitude for the people that have protected us and given us the kind of lifestyle and liberties that we have here in the United States. And I think all of us would agree we need to take care of our veterans more than anybody else in our country, and especially people outside our country. And we just aren't doing that. We have people, and you see it reported all the time, waiting in long lines to get in and not getting the treatment they need. But on the other hand, when I've campaigned throughout the state, the vast majority of veterans tell me they don't want to get rid of the VA because when they do get in there, even though there's large delays, they get great treatment and they're very happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I hear is they want the option that, hey, if we can't get in soon enough and we want to go to another hospital, we should have that right to do so. But if we can and we can get into the VA and get the kind of treatment that they really like, we should let them. Hey, we should do whatever the veterans want and feel what's best for them. They deserve it.
All right, let's take a break. More with Danny Tarkanian running for CD3 after this.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Danny Tarkanian. He is now running for CD3. President Trump asked him to step away from the race for U.S. Senate with Dean Heller. You have got to have a whole different strategy now. Obviously, you would have had to have a whole different strategy if you did end up winning the Senate primary. But now the CD3 race, what is your strategy against Susie Lee? Susie Lee ran and got a lot of name recognition the last time around. Didn't win, but at the same time, she has a lot of money behind her. What's your strategy?
Yeah, first of all, she does have a lot of money behind it. That's what differentiates her from Jackie Rosen. Susie's raising money like no one has in a congressional seat. She's got $600,000 cash on hand, raised over $700 after her first two quarters, and I hear she's going to have another great reporting period. But it isn't just what you raise individually when you get into one of these contested races. The outside money comes in, the super PACs. As I mentioned in my last race against Jackie Rosen, it was the most expensive race in the country last year, and there was $6.5 million from super PACs on both sides that came in. So it isn't going to be a money issue. I think that it's a simple process. Susie Lee is going to argue for the progressive movement that Bernie Sanders and others have articulated, and there is a movement by a segment of our party country that wants that. My whole argument is going to be from day one, and I've said this, I'm not going to get out there and say, hey, you got to love Donald Trump, you got to like what he says and so forth. But what I've said all along and what I believe very firmly in, the policies that he's articulating in the America First agenda, taking care of Americans first, taking care of veterans, taking care of our military, taking care of our police officers, these are things that I think are great policies. After just a year and a couple months, you're seeing the effects of these policies, the lowest unemployment rate in almost two decades, highest consumer confidence in two decades. We can go on. But I'm going to run on the effects of the America First policies that President Trump has articulated. And I believe when people go to the polls and vote in November, they may say, I don't like some of the things that President Trump says or some of the things, some of the actions that he does. But they're going to say, gosh, I'm so happy with the way our economy is going right now, the way our national security is going right now. I don't want to change it. I want to keep people in office that support those policy positions.
Where do you think the big battleground is going to be in Nevada? Is it going to be in rural Nevada as it was for Adam Laxalt? Is it going to be in Clark County, Washoe? How do you see it from a strategy point of view?
Well, you're talking in a statewide race, not my CD3 race, but in a statewide race, the rurals are going to come out and they're going to vote very strongly for the GOP nominee, the Laxalt, and I would presume Heller also. I think Washoe County is going to make a big difference. Clark County is going to vote Democrat. It's going to vote Democrat by a significant amount. The key for the Republican Party is to keep the voter registration numbers at a low enough level that we can make up the difference. Right now, I think it's at about 60,000. The last election was 92,000. And when you look at Trump, I believe lost by a little over 20,000. So did Heck. But that's the difference in the voter registration change that we've seen since the last election to this one. Now, the caveat is that Democrats always turn up the voter registration numbers the last 4 or 5 months of the campaign, so you're going to see those numbers increasing some. It's on the Republican side to keep those numbers low, and then to target the independents. And again, talking about the America First policies that really cater towards or address the concerns of middle-class, hardworking Americans have, and hopefully get enough of those independents to vote for you.
Yeah, and my apologies. I was thinking U.S. Senate race in there instead of CD3, which is entirely down in Southern Nevada. Ray?
Oh, it's okay. I can talk about the Senate one.
Well, you know, Danny, I want to get back to this veteran stuff. You know, you said that, you know, Trump wants to take care of veterans, but, you know, some veterans that, you know, that I've spoke to up here, they're really concerned about this privatization of the Veterans Administration. Could you address that? How are you going to answer that if someone asks you on the campaign trail?
Yeah, and when I said President Trump wants to take care of the veterans, I'm talking about the America First policies that he articulated during the campaign.
Right.
He had talked about during the campaign of giving veterans the choice, giving them a card to go to regular hospitals if they wanted to, but still go to the VA if that's what they chose. And that's the position I'm going to take and fight for. It's the one that I hear from all the veterans, not all of them, but the vast majority of them that I hear in the state. If what you're saying is President Trump is now arguing to eliminate the VA and completely privatize it, then that's not something that I'm going to vote for, because that's not what I'm hearing from the vast majority of veterans. They want to have that option to go to the VA system, but they also want the option to go to a private hospital if they can't, if the VA is not serving their needs.
Danny, we were talking about Susie Lee and her money advantage at this point. Her husband, Dan Lee, is a very prominent gaming executive. Are you going to get support, or are you getting support from Sheldon Adelson?
I haven't yet, but I assume that I will. He's going to support the Republican nominee in this race, and he supported me. He's never supported me in a primary, and he supported a couple of my opponents, but they've supported me in a general election, and I would assume I would get the support of some of the other casino owners, too, like the Fertittas. Michael Gaughan is going to contribute to my campaign. he's been a longtime family friend. So we'll get some. Look at Susie Lee's FEC report shows that she's getting a ton of money from the MGM. Virtually all of their executives are given to them along with their super PAC. Same with Caesars World. She used to work with Jan Laverty-Jones, and she's got a ton of money from them. Some from Boyd Gaming. She is definitely going to be the big casino owner's choice, but there's a couple of them that still support Republicans and will want to have somebody in there supporting the America First policies.
And that's where we have to leave it. Long road ahead, so we'll be back to talk to you. Thank you, Danny Tarkanian, and we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great power pundit panel with us. Former State Senator Warren Hardy is with us. He's the principal with the Hardy Consulting Group. Andy McKay is executive director of the Nevada Franchise Auto Dealers Association. And John Sandy IV is with Argentum Partners. So what a disaster at UNLV with Len Jessup announcing that he's taking a new job at Claremont Graduate University in California starting July 1. What does this say to you when donors, I mean, it's around $40 million in donations that have already been pulled from UNLV?
If this isn't yet another example as to why the oversight of higher ed in the form of the Board of Regents needs to be fixed, I don't know what is. I'll just leave it at this. You have regents that are meddling in this. And it's unfortunate because I think President Jessup was doing a really good job. And demonstrative of the fact was, to what you just said, Sam, the amount of money that he had from donors committed to help fund the medical school and other projects and other people that had made commitments that now they're on the sidelines.
Can this wait to the legislative session to get fixed, John?
I think it can wait. I don't know that they need to start construction on those and the donors. Who knows who the next president's going to be and their ability to fundraise. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns that we have. But I mean, just to echo what Andy said, I mean, it really this was really shocking to me, to be honest, because, having watched Len Jessup work, I thought he was perfect in that role. He had a lot. It seemed like there was a lot of momentum that UNLV was gaining between having the medical school, that big contribution from the Fertittas on their facilities and just the money for campus generally. Boyd School of Law has been doing great and just climbing up the rankings. I mean, UNLV has a lot going for it. And this was just a shock to see that, a generally liked president would just be ostracized like that.
Senator, what's your view from Las Vegas?
Well, here's what I'll say. I mean, I agree with Andy that it's clearly micromanagement from the Board of Regents level. So that's one issue that needs to be addressed. But I'll also say this, I don't know the inside. I've talked to a few people that are close to the situation trying to get a better understanding, because my initial reaction was the same as John's. Look, this guy's doing a great job. What's going on? What's happening? But here's what I'll tell you. There are very few public servants that I trust more than Tom Riley. And if Tom Riley had some concerns about the internal workings at UNLV, then I'm inclined to at least hear him out on that. And from what I can understand, he did have some concerns, which is why they hired the COO or the CFO or whoever they hired to try to address them.
They haven't actually hired them yet, but yeah, it's a COO position.
Exactly. They're moving towards that or proposing to hire it. But it's clearly an example of a larger problem, that is the micromanagement of the regents. But you know, it's also an example that I would also say that we need to stand by and let Tom Riley do his job. And I don't know all the details in there. I just trust Tom to do a good job there. But it was mismanaged. It was mishandled. The firing or the forcing him out was completely mishandled. That is not conducive to hiring another quality person to come in. So that was clearly mismanaged. I'm willing to sit by and listen and see what happens.
Andy, it would seem like we almost need an interim president, somebody who's highly respected in Southern Nevada, to jump in and take over for a year or two. You know, somebody perhaps from the business community.
I mean, I think certainly.
Like a Don Snyder.
Right. I mean.
I that's a great idea, what Warren just said. Absolutely, they're going to have to have an interim president because they have to do some sort of search. Do they hire it internally, organically within either UNLV or somebody else? But, you know, it is worth mentioning, Warren is absolutely right. If there's a public servant you trust, it's Tom Riley. I mean, his integrity and his credentials are impeccable. And again, it's easy for me to sit here and speculate. I'm not on the inside of this thing. I mean, that's worth noting.
Yeah, but, you know, when you look at a situation where donors putting in, from the Engelstad Foundation, putting in $14 million and saying that money is there only if the president remains the president and the head of the medical school is the head of the medical school for the terms that they're employed.
But Sam, as important as that is and as important as donors are, do you really want them dictating the direction of the university?
Well, I just think it just points out, you know, the tenuous situation that's obviously been going on for quite a while. This is not something that happened overnight. That donation was discussed and signed up on a year ago.
And I think it would be one thing, too, if there was unanimity amongst the region. But the public and the job that Len Jessup had seemed to be doing in the public, mixed with the fact that there's regents that aren't on board with the moves that some of the others are making, just makes it unclear as to why this was the right time and a good thing to do.
Warren,
and that's right, John. I mean, my sense is that this could have been done without forcing him out of the job. I think he was doing enough good on other levels that it probably could have been done without forcing him out with some other tweaks, which I think is where Tom was headed. But, you know, these things have a tendency to get sideways when the regents get involved like that.
Okay, one sentence response to this because we're out of time. City of North Las Vegas put out a news release. Amazon is going to build a 2.4 million square foot e-commerce facility in North Las Vegas, creating 1,000 jobs. Your response, Andy?
Jobs are good.
John?
Good news for Southern Nevada.
Warren?
Economic development's working in Nevada.
Sure is. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Great discussion. We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
On our next broadcast, the return of Congressman Mark Amaday. We'll see you then.